From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run. But there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses. So please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio. This is activist radio. And I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, locked down in a dragon, or trying to stop whalers from killing whales. If you have information, news, comments, announcements, or anything else for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. And, of course, we always start out with announcements. The International Day of Action Against State Repression is coming up April 26th. Earth Liberation Front spokesperson Craig Rosenbrough has been commanded to reappear in front of a federal grand jury in Portland at 9 a.m. on April 26th. Stating he will not cooperate, Rosenbrough faces contempt charges which may lead to imprisonment for up to 18 months. The federal grand jury convened in Portland is investigating the actions of the Earth Liberation Front and the Animal Liberation Front from 1997 through the present. During this time, both underground organizations have inflicted well over $24 million in damages on entities profiting off of the destruction of the natural environment and exploitation of life. Rosenbrough has been considered an official target of this grand jury investigation due to his role as a spokesperson for both the ELF and the ALF. February 2nd, just a couple of months ago, Rosenbrough's home, vehicle, and former office were raided by the FBI, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the U.S. Forest Service. Hundreds of items of property were seized in the raid and have yet to be returned. In addition, Rosenbrough was issued a subpoena to testify his fifth in 3 years before the federal grand jury. So stop this grand jury by any means necessary. This is an open call for direct action against the grand jury proceedings to be held in Portland on April 26th. Come one, come all, form your affinity groups and get the job done. If you want more information, call 503-478-0902. That's 503-478-0902. Or send email to elfpress@tao.ca. That's ELFPRESS@TAO.ca. Coming up is the 22nd Annual High Desert Conference, April 27th through the 30th. Join desert wilderness advocates at the Malheur Field Station south of Burns, Oregon for 3 days of field trips, slideshows, workshops, and great speakers. Presenters include Ellen Malloy, Levi Holt, Scott Gruen, Catherine Brigham, Mark Salvo, Ann Martin, and George Werthener. Plus, they'll be contra-dancing with the band 18 Degrees of Plato. For more information, contact Gelly Lyons at the Oregon Natural Desert Association. The number, 503-525-0193. That's 503-525-0193. Or send email to glyons, G-L-Y-O-N-S, at O-N-D-A. .org. And coming up is May Day in the Ocala National Forest of Florida. That's Friday, April 28th through Monday, May 1st. Music, workshops, homebrew taste test. Now, Uncle Dennis might go to Florida for that. Anarchist Book Fair. They'll have a community kitchen, performers, and camping. If you want information, there will be a donation requested, and they're asking you people to pre-register. If you want directions or information, contact P.O. Box 2671 in Gainesville, Florida, 32602. Once again, that's P.O. Box 2671, Gainesville, Florida, 32602, or perhaps Mayday at mayday0@mailcity.com. That's mayday0@mailcity.com. Or you can go to their webpage, www.geocities.com/maydayflorida, or they have some voicemail, 850-222-1786. That's 850-222-1786. Also coming up is the Natural Resources Law Conference. This is being held May 7th and 8th. Attend the Saving Ecosystems Tools to Protect Public and Private Lands Conference, May 7th and 8th, in Bozeman, Montana. The event sponsored by the Greater Yellowstone Coalition, the Western Land Exchange Project, and the Wyoming Outdoor Council. It's a workshop for activists involved in ecosystem conservation. Want more information? Contact Jay Brower, J-B-R-A-W-E-R, at wildlands.org. That's Jay Brower at wildlands.org. And a Mother's Day and Women's Rally is planned for Thursday, May 11th at 2 p.m. in front of the Department of Livestock Building in Helena, Montana. This is to honor the spirit of our sister buffalo and to bring attention to the tragedies and difficulties they face each spring when it is time for their calves to arrive. Anyone who would like to participate is welcome. Please feel free to contact Flo for any ideas you have for activities that take place during the rally. I would like to see it be peaceful and respectful. I plan to offer up a prayer for the buffalo. Children are more than welcome. Contact Flo at, here's the email address, fgardipee@hotmail.com. I'll read that once again, fgardipee@hotmail.com. And the 4th Annual Western Washington Forest Conference, May 12th and through the 14th at the CISPUS Learning Center in Randall, Washington. Join other activists and forest enthusiasts for the 4th Annual Western Washington Forest Conference in the heart of the Gifford-Pitchett National Forest. They're going to have, of course, the usual round of workshops and outings and all kinds of stuff. If you'd like information, children and families are welcome. There is a registration fee. Camping is available for free, and dormitory accommodations are available, I'm certain, for a fee at the CISPUS Center. It's sponsored by the Gifford-Pinchas Task Force, Pacific Crest Biodiversity Project, Washington Wilderness Coalition, Northwest Ecosystems Alliance, and the Central Cascades Alliance, American Lands Alliance, and Lewitt Sierra Club, and the Northwest Environmental Defense Center. A whole bunch of sponsors. If you'd like more information, contact Mr. Foster or Miss Foster. I have no idea. Demis Foster at 206-545-3734. That's 206-545-3734 or DEMIS at PCBP.org. That's DEMIS at BCBP.org. You need to work on your email address there. That's unreadable. Also coming up is the Escalante Wilderness Action Gathering, May 19th through the 21st in Escalante, Utah. This gathering in the heart of Hadouk Country will show support for local activists and strategize how to protect southern Utah's vast wild Red Rock Canyon country and forests. This is sponsored by the Escalante Wilderness Project. For more information, contact Tori Woodard or Patrick Deal. P.O. Box 652, Escalante, Utah, 84726. Once again, that's P.O. Box 652, Escalante, Utah, 84726. Or you can phone them at 435-826-4778. That's 435-826-4778. Or email to Toripat, T-O-R-I-P-A-T, at color-country.net, T-O-R-I-P-A-T. At color-country.net or their webpage, www.escalantehouse.org/EWP. Once again, the webpage, www.escalantehouse.org/EWP. David Rovics and his Big Mountain Tour are touring near Rochester, New York on Friday, April 28th. They'll be playing at the Workers' Memorial Day with John McCutcheon. Saturday, April 29th, from 2 to 4 p.m., David will be at a workshop on flat picking in Rochester, New York. Not exactly sure where that is, but May 6th, Wake Up the Earth Festival in Jamaica Plains, Massachusetts. Take the T train to Stony Brook on the Orange Line, and you're there. Once again, more information about David Rovics is at drovics@aol.com, or you can go to his webpage, www.davidrovics.com. And Casey Neal Trio is also on the road May 1st in Berkeley at the Freight and Salvage. You know where that is. More information, 510-548-1761, May 2nd. In Ben Lomond, California, at Henflings, just north of Santa Cruz. And May 3rd in Bryceland, California, that's Northern California, at Beginnings on Old Bryceland Road. That's follow the Redway exit off of 101 and head west. That's at 7:30. May 4th in Eugene, Oregon, at Sam Bond's Garage, Blair Boulevard in the Whitaker District, 9 p.m. May 5th, Portland, Oregon, at McMiniman's St. John's Pub. At 8 p.m. May 10th at Tractor Tavern in Seattle, Washington, 523 Northwest Ballard Avenue, and May 11th in Bellingham, Washington at the Wild Buffalo. And then on May 13th, he's headed into Canada at the Victoria Celtic Festival with Lunasa and the Paperboys. Casey Neal on the road. Let's get into the action news of the day, and that is definitely taking place off of Nia Bay in Washington State. Started on Monday, the World Whale Police patrol boat Tiger was rammed during the macaw whale hunt by the U.S. Coast Guard, disabling the vessel and injuring a Canadian protester on board. "I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the hull descending on the passenger side of our boat," stated Canadian Julie Woodyer of the Vancouver Humane Society and Zoo Check Canada. "I thought we would die, and then we were rammed again. It was the most terrifying experience of my life. I was unconscious for a period of time. When I awoke, they were handcuffing me as I lay on the deck." Woodyer was removed from the boat by stretcher and taken ashore for medical check. She turned out to be okay. These events are unfolding as two macaw canoes, one is a decoy and a native gunboat with a 50 caliber rifle on board, approached a pod of gray whales this on Monday. The whales have been returning from their wintering grounds off the coast of Mexico, where they've been giving birth to their young. The macaw is striving to kill five whales this year, the second year they have been permitted by a backdoor strategy to take those whales. Then here's news from the 18th. Whale defenders expressed shock and outrage Tuesday to a video released by the U.S. Coast Guard that clearly shows the World Whale Police boat rammed repeatedly by U.S. Coast Guard patrol boats on Monday. "This is clearly a provocative act and the use of excessive force that endangered life," said Jonathan Paul, captain of the Ocean Defense International Whale Protection Vessels, now out in Nia Bay monitoring the macaw whale hunters. ODI says it plans to be on the water for the next 6 to 8 weeks. The video shows a patrol boat making a U-turn and ramming the side of the World Whale Police vessel Tiger, who they claim had violated an exclusionary zone around the whale hunters. "However, such a trespassing hardly calls for such a life-threatening overreaction," said Paul. Bill Moss of the World Whale Police was arrested. Julie Woodyer is recuperating. This being today, as the hunt continues, even as an injured ODI activist was rushed in helicopter to a Port Angeles hospital, the Coast Guard insists on allowing the hunt to continue. Videotape clearly shows a U.S. Coast Guard vessel running at great speed directly over Ocean Defense International activist Aaron Abbott, who was riding a jet ski at the time. Uncle Dennis has viewed the video. "It is absolutely heart-stopping. A 20-foot inflatable boat runs directly over the jet ski. It's amazing that Erin did not get hurt worse than she did." Ocean Defense International, the World Whale Police, and the Washington Citizens Coastal Alliance are calling for an immediate halt to this illegal hunt until an investigation can be launched into the shameful tactics employed by the U.S. Coast Guard. If you want more information, you can go to www.stopwhalekill.org. That's stopwhalekill.org. And if you want to register your protest with the Coast Guard, their phone number is 360-645-2236. 360-645-2236. Call now, call often. tell the Coast Guard this cannot go on. If you want to see for yourself exactly what happened today, this is April 20th, you can go to the following webpage. You'll have to listen carefully. www.nwcn.com/news/nwcnvod.html. Once again, that's www.nwcn.com/news/nwcnvod.html. It says right here, the damn Coast Guard just ran over the top of her. That was Erin on her jet ski. It is unbelievable. If you would like to help the folks out up in Nia Bay who are protesting against, well, actually at this point, they're getting run over by the Coast Guard repeatedly. These folks need your contributions for fuel, food, and other items. You can either send them money or checks or whatever. You can make the checks payable to Ocean Defense International, Peninsula Citizens for the Protection of Whales, or the World Whale Police. The address, care of Olson's Marina, 444 Front Street, CQ SEKIU, Washington, USA, 98381. Once again, send those contributions, care of Olson's Marina, 444 Front Street, CQ SEKIU, Washington, USA, 98381. If you'd like to make a credit card donation, that's available through Olson's Marina. This is okay to do, folks. They're asking us to do this. The telephone number for Olson's Marina, 360-963-2311, 360-963-2311. And the folks there at Olson's Marina will use your credit card to pay off some of the gas and diesel required by these three great groups: Ocean Defense International, Peninsula Citizens for the Protection of Whales, and the World Whale Police. And there's been some mistaken reports in the news concerning the whaling by the macaw. The 1997 International Whaling Commission meeting in Monaco, when that meeting took place, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's James Baker made a side deal with Russian delegates to trade endangered bowhead whales from the Inuit quota. Those are natives of northern Russia, by unilaterally allocating five gray whales to the macaw tribe of northern Washington. At that same meeting, International Whaling Commission delegates passed a non-binding resolution opposing the macaw whale hunt. So there is no legal documentation, there's no legal IWC permission for the macaw to go whaling. And in a final note on this issue, not all natives support this whaling. This is a commentary emailed to Uncle Dennis. Not all native people are supporters of the macaw. They resent the macaw telling the press that they are. This is not a racial issue and us against the white man thing. The majority of the macaw people do not support this slaughter, but they have been threatened and bullied into silence. The so-called hunters have become the enemy they have despised for so long and sold their souls in the process. The slaughter has nothing to do with feeding the macaw people. It is a way of giving the finger to the rest of the world. It is the same as anarchists at what was to be a peaceful demonstration in Seattle who came and destroyed whatever they could. This macaw group simply want to destroy, no matter what excuse they give the establishment after them. Four or five tribes on Vancouver Island will use this as a precedent to slaughter whales to sell to the Japanese, which will give the indigenous people of Japan the precedent to resume killing in a major way. Pollution of the ocean continues to increase, caused by all peoples. Soon there will be no more whales. And this is written by Chris Johnson of the Chippewa tribe of Nawash. Moving on to other activist news. A Canadian commune leader who we've reported on in recent Earth First radio broadcasts, who was accused of a campaign of sabotage against the oil industry, was found guilty of five charges relating to bombings and vandalism that bred fear in a remote region of northern Alberta. Christian reformist priest Weibo Ludwig, 58, was convicted of two charges of mischief, one charge of possession of explosives, and two lesser charges. His friend Richard Bonstra, 54, was convicted of one count of mischief. Anti-oil industry activist Ludwig and Boonstra, who led the 34-member Trickle Creek Commune near Beaver Lodge, Alberta, 400 kilometers northeast of Edmonton, faced charges in connection with two separate gas well bombings and other vandalism near their back-to-the-land compound in 1998. The ruling wrapped up a high-profile 8-week case that mixed politics, religion, and environmental issues. The only conclusion one can arrive at is Mr. Ludwig set off the bomb, said Judge Sterling Sanderman, referring to a Suncor Energy well bombing in the late 1998. He delivers a verdict to a packed Edmonton courtroom, site of the trial that ended earlier this month. The bearded religious men contended they were victims of big oil and government, which they said tried to cover up their claims that emissions from the flarings of sour gas or gas laced with hydrogen sulfide had caused sickness and miscarriages among their family members. We turn to now the North Coast Earth First newsletter and Matol Alert, reporting on the action camp that opened March 30th. And by Saturday, over 100 activists were in attendance. Training updates and role plays dominated the first 3 days to prepare for the week ahead. With logging in the hole in the headwaters delayed, we wanted to focus on a series of actions that would tell the public the state of North Coast Redwoods in the post-headwaters deal landscape. Sunday morning, we found ourselves on the doorstep of CDF Director Andrea Tuttle, delivering an early morning wake-up call of authentic Elk River mud from upstream Maxam clearcuts. And early Monday morning, we blocked access to 3 gates on Maxam lands in Jordan Creek, and 3 were arrested in the stopping of clearcutting of ancient forest in the devastated drainage of Jordan Creek. In Fort Bragg, Mendocino Earth First occupied the doorway and rooftop of the Hawthorne Group, a faceless investors conglomerate that owns former Georgia-Pacific lands and plans on clearcutting in the No-Yo River and old-growth redwoods along the Skunk train line. Wednesday, an activist locked down on the Columbia helicopter crew trucks. Out-of-state loggers hired by Charles Hurwitz to liquidate 1,040 acres of residual and intact old growth in the coming months. Thursday morning, 16 activists occupied the equipment yard of the Pacific Forestry and Marine, an Arcata company that sprays thousands of gallons of poisonous herbicides on Maxam, Simpson, and Barnum lands with no public accountability. This action forced a meeting with the owner to discuss greater community oversight of his operations. The week ended with a hike to Gypsy Mountain to remember our friend who was murdered in defending the ancient redwoods. The camp closed that Sunday. More to come thanks to the hundreds that made it happen. And logging is about to begin in the Matol, which is the other headwaters. The North Fork of the Matol is largely owned by Maxam, who possesses 17,000 acres, including 5,000 acres of higher elevation intact old-growth Douglas fir. Logging plans are on file and could be approved as soon as Monday, April 24th. If you want more information, contact the Matol hotline, 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828 for information on the Matol. And of course, the hole in the headwaters is coming up. If you want more information, contact North Coast Earth First, 707-825-6598. That's 707-825-6598. Or you can go to their webpage, www.humboldt1.com/tildeNC. EF. That's www.humboldt1.com. That's the number one. /tilde. That's that funny little squiggly line. NCEF. And from Montana, we have a report from the Buffalo Field Campaign here. The first buffalo calf born outside the western boundary of Yellowstone National Park died April 9th. Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers on their early morning patrol of the north side of the Madison River noticed the carcass among trees where the calf and his mother had been feeding for the past few days. The buffalo was born in the early hours of Thursday, April 6th, just before the most recent hazing operations, and we'll learn more about this. Using cracker barrel shotgun rounds and snowmobiles, the Department of Livestock ran a mixed herd of 14 buffalo more than 2 miles from the Gallatin National Forest back into Yellowstone National Park. Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers stood between the Department of Livestock and the calf and its mother. By the Department of Livestock's own admissions, the calf was too young to move. And since Thursday, the Buffalo Field Campaign volunteers noticed its deteriorating condition. Unfortunately, it did die. There are several other pregnant cows who were chased across Highway 191 and over a guardrail in the last week here. They had a big rally, and they unfurled a 20-by-50-foot banner and more stuff. If you want to get in touch with these folks, the Buffalo Field Campaign, formerly Buffalo Nations, they're at P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. That's P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. Or you can call them 406-646-0070, 406-646-0070. And right about now, Uncle Dennis is going to take a little musical break here.
Oh, you bear such a noble name. Walsinkio, a testament to white man's shame. The boss at Georgia Pacific, he needs to make some dough. So sorry, California, those redwoods gotta go. Walsinkio, let them cut you down. Well, thank you. They don't care that it's sacred ground. They massacred the Indians, they stole the land they left. But now they come to tell us that I'm finished with their theft. Well, thank you. Your spirit is so great. I can't believe this is your fate. The boss at Georgia Pacific, he likes to feel his might, but none can match the power of Mother Nature's might.
Radio will be right back.